Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Amazon is offering sign-on bonuses up to $1,000, plus get up to $20 an hour for select roles. The best part? We're hiring near you. So start now to take home something greater. New, higher wages with a sign-on bonus, a range of real benefits, and career growth opportunities in a top-rated workplace. So earn more and see how great pay and sign-on bonuses can lead to a greater life for you. Go to amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Berto Will is your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We're going to have a great show for you today. Actually, today it would be great. I'm going to be just answering our whatever you throw in the messages, whatever you throw in the whatever you throw. If you give me a call, the telephone number is on the screen. If you tweet and you tag the tweet with I better put that. But put that screen up. If you tag it with "Politics Done Right" on your tweets, I will go ahead and take care of whatever it is you send out there. But I think I better go ahead and start my Twitter handler here because, every now and then you forget to get it started. And let's see if I can get that started. Okay, so folks, give us a call. The number is on the screen, and I'm going to put it in the feed right now. If you want to say a word or two. I did my thesis on miscommunication patterns. I love that, Brige. I love that. There you go. That's a number to call us on. I am trying to bring up I think I have the tweet stuff set up here. Let's see if that's the Twitter deck. That's not Twitter deck, but I can go ahead and just scan on Politics Done Right. And any messages that come in with Politics Done Right, I'll go ahead and read it or answer it or whatever. But again, that number to call in is 346-248-7799. And the ID to get in is 254-600-9091. 600-9091. Well, you know what? I think what I'm going to do is I know it's on this screen here. We have so many screens here, sometimes it gets confusing. All right, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and Politics Done Right is set up, but I just need to move it over to this side. Anyhow, let's see how you move that. Put it here first. Oh, did that move? That didn't move. Okay, let's see. Move, location, move. Okay, I can't move it, but that's okay. I'll still be able to see it. Anyhow, folks, we're going to have a great show for you today. What you want to talk about? I know what I want to talk about. It's very important. Biden started out great, but then he had to drop some bombs. And people are going to say, are you going to react the same way when Biden dropped bombs as you did when Donald Trump dropped bombs? You bet your life I'm going to. When are we going to learn? Oh, you want to show a strong front because they killed a couple of Americans, or one American got killed from a rocket that really wasn't targeted, but to create mischief. It's wrong. But I tell you what. When are we going to learn? When are we going to learn that it's unnecessary? War is never or rarely ever necessary. According to Michael Rudnan, what he found, Bo of the Fifth Column says this was retaliation against non-state actors for their attack. Iraq, non-state actors, meaning a sponsored black ops crew that the Iranian government could disavow with plausible deniability. This proportional strike was about the least the Biden administration could do without the Republicans calling him weak, thus sidelining the conversation of months while keeping Iran at the table to continue peace accords and return to the nuclear deal. Normally, under previous presidents and there's retaliation, the target is a sponsor government with disproportionate damage. Bo of the fifth column, before you support the troops, you have to support the truth. When I give my opinion, rather than explaining the dynamics, I say I come down more on the side of there being better ways to send the message. Miss me with the warmongering stuff. I don't think I need to say war is bad, and I don't think anybody really watches this channel to be told war is bad. The harsh reality, you want to leave the Middle East? Iran needs to come out of isolation, which means we have to do the hard part to make up for decades of meddling. While pulling out immediately sounds great, it creates a power vacuum. War is bad because of the human cost in life, right? Yes. Look, let me get this straight, first of all. You're not going to do anything that you want to do to harm the country. But by the same token, you don't just you just don't go willy-nilly and drop bombs. You just don't do that. People can say, well, what should he have done to not be called weak by Republicans? You finally take care of... Look, it's not hard to neutralize Republicans. It's not hard to tell the truth. It's not hard to say war. Look, what do you want? Look at what war has brought us so far. What has it done for the average American citizen thus far? Has it made their lives any better? Has made a few rich. It has made a few rich. But anyhow, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to tell you what, I have an interview, but I'm going to do that a little later. Then I'm going to come back again. But again, if you want to give us a call at Michael Rudnan. You caused my stuff to scroll down. So I'm going to read it again. 346-248-7799. The ID is 254-600-9091. Bridge MCP says, I think religion is the backbone of all wars, land rights, equality. How am I to argue with that? Read the Bible, read any religion, and you see things of that nature. Okay, here is the show today. Let's see. I don't know, I have a sort of an allergy thing that is messing with my sinuses, and I just went outside for a little bit. I think not doing a whole lot of stuff outside, your immune system reacts when you go outside and there's all that muck in the air, you know? Anyhow, we had a freeze. A lot of stuff died. A lot of muck is in the air from those dead plants. Who knows what's going on here? Anyhow, here is what our show is going to be about today. Here we go. Aquí está. Call, comment, tweet. Friday and Clint Paget points out communication is not conversation. In times of Zoom, Clint Paget says communication isn't conversation, people. If you really want to have a conversation, you have to do more than just Zoom. And I tend to agree with him 100%. Anyhow, continuing, I want to, before I get into the interview, etc., what I really want to do is talk about something that should be on all of our minds right now. And that is what the parliamentarian in the Senate did. She said, in as much as it created a $50 billion effect on the budget, she said that we cannot use the $15 minimum wage in reconciliation, which means we're going to need 60 votes. If you want, in whatever bill we finally put the $15 minimum wage in, it's going to require us to have 60 votes to pass it. Unless we can the filibuster. Democrats, however, they have a plan B. The plan B is to say, if we can't set the minimum wage, there's one thing that we can do. We can prevent companies from getting certain tax breaks if they don't pay $15. So therefore, we're not saying you have to pay $15, but don't come to the government for breaks if you're not paying $15. Since the Senate parliamentarian advised that this is from Daily Coast. Since the Senate parliamentarian advised that a minimum wage increase cannot be a part of the budget reconciliation bill, Democrats are looking for Plan B. And what is Plan B? Senate officials deem, the House is set to spend a long day finish up work on a public lands bill. That's not the one that I wanted to read. Sorry, I didn't have that one queued up. They had to do that because of the parliamentary, let me back up, promise and the desperate necessity to raise millions of people above the current poverty level, minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. They have to do that because of the parliamentarian rules that came despite several Republican policies with less effect. I wanted to read the exact piece that said how they're going to do it, but I don't have it in front of me right here. But here's the thing. I don't think progressives, Democrats, all of us have really made the appropriate case to show exactly how evil 725 is in 2021. We've had 725 for 11 years or more. And we have to also remember, however, that if we had indexed the minimum wage for inflation, it would be north of $20 an hour. Okay? Now, there are a lot of people say, oh, this is just entry-level work. So, therefore, since the people who are doing this work is entry-level, by somehow raising this minimum wage, you're going to create a problem with that employer because now he's going to try to, he's going to lay people off because it costs him more. You know, wealth transfer, income transfer, and wage theft is a very insidious thing. There are a lot of different ways of doing it, right? You can actually have wage theft by simply not paying the wage that somebody made. You can do that, right? In other words, if you're making $100 a week, your boss can simply say, I'm going to hold back $10 and not tell you, you're just not getting it. That's wage theft. But there are other ways we can allow our system itself to effect wage theft. And how do we do that? It's amazing. Hey, Bridge, where's my picture? Yeah, send it to me and I'll post it if you have it. That is, how do we have wage theft in a systemic fashion? Here's how systemic wage theft works. Let's say we have an average inflation rate of 3%. And let's say the minimum wage were $10. I'm just doing it because it's easy to calculate. The next year, that minimum wage is supposed to be, if it's 3%, right? It would be a 30% increase. So that would be 1030. Let's say it's 3 years again. 3% the next year. The next year it would be your minimum wage would be $10.67 or 68 cents. The next year would be $11, etc. And people would say, but wait a minute. What is that doing to the employer? Well, if you take a look at what the employer is doing, right? The employer is buying more product at those at the inflation rate costs, and he doesn't go ahead and say, I don't want to pay the 3% inflation cost on the products that I am buying. He just buys it because that's what it costs. Likewise, when his profit increases, because if he sells a piece of bread for a dollar, and inflation goes up and he now starts selling it for $1.10. He continuously makes more money based on inflation. But he does not want to give his minimum wage worker that profit as well. So, in effect, he is creating income inequality because he's freezing this guy's income while he continues to pay more to the people who sell him the flour, to the people who sell him the fat, to the people who sell him all these different things. He doesn't have a problem paying them more, whatever the market will bear. He doesn't mind paying them the inflation rate that's going. He doesn't mind because his prices of his products has increased because of what he has to pay. He doesn't mind making more money so that his salary is indexed to inflation as well, meaning he makes more profit. The only person who suffers in this capitalist system is the worker. the person who they try to remove all power from. You get a union, they try to remove the union. You remember I had Yvette on a few days ago. They want to take away your union. They want to take away your ability to bargain, to say, hey, you got to pay me too. It is orchestrated. It is an orchestrated wage theft. Inflation or minimum wage not indexed to inflation is wage theft. Let's go a little further. McDonald's used to pay, let's say, $3. Let's say the $7.25 an hour minimum wage. No, they pay more now, but $7.25 an hour. Their prices of burgers and everything went up. They still bring in those workers at $7.25, entry level. But the worker who worked in 19, or the worker who worked in 2010 for $7.25 is making more than the worker who comes in 2020 working at $7.25. And guess what? That means that new entry-level worker can only buy less than his earlier entry-level worker. It is wage theft by design. It is income transfer by design. It is wealth transfer by the design of the system. In other words, your employer, by having a minimum wage that does not index to inflation and having a low minimum wage, what they're doing is they're sanctioning wage theft. And one of the things we don't do when we express these things is we don't express it in the language that's true. Oh, we make it seem as if we are doing the low wage worker a favor by increasing the minimum wage, making things a little better for them. So thank you so very much. Thank you for doing that for us. When in reality, all we are doing is stopping wage theft. Think about that. Think about that. Okay, let's see. Somebody has a question. Let's see. Hello. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go to the top before I go into the video and start calling people up. Paul Fleming from ATL, Atlanta, checking in. Welcome aboard, Paul Fleming. Michael Rudnan, CPAC goes all in on Trump false election fraud claims. Conspiracy theory is now the official Republican platform. I'm glad the way you put that. Conspiracy theory is now the official Republican platform, but it's worse than that because I watched CPAC this morning. And I tell you, I couldn't. Well, I could believe what I'm seeing, but it was pathetic because you know what is so funny? It is, all of you saw the unpatriotic, seditious insurrectionists running around that inside of the Capitol building with the Confederate flag. You saw that with your own eyes. You saw that these guys said they were sent there by Trump. You also saw all the anti-Semitic wear that these guys were wearing throughout the field. You saw that with your own eyes. And what do I see as one of the first panels on stage at CPAC? Three black guys, one white guy, discussing how great conservatism and Trump was for them, and how the Democrats want black folks on the plantation. We see at CPAC, that's what we see, right? And not only that, justifying. We had three black guys at CPAC justifying the mob entering to the building, saying when a government treats his people wrongly, that is to be expected. So they are also creating a justification for a mob, insurrectionists, unpatriotic, seditious insurrectionists. They are justifying that by saying, well, if the government doesn't abide, that is what you get. Wow. Nowhere did they say, how comes when Black Lives Matter was in D.C., we had the National Guard that preempted the protest. But here where we had people saying they're coming with guns and bombs and everything, oh, it's okay. It is, and then you get three black stooges on NDT talking about it's just the mob. It shows that people would, you know, take money for just about anything, right? Just about anything. All right, let me continue sending hype to my people. Bridge MCP, hey y'all. Lee Grant, hi all. Hey, Brother Lee, how you doing? Paul Fleming, happy Friday. Let's see. Michael Rudnin, I think I read your stuff already. Let's see who else is here. Jimbo, 298. Seven people watching. Yes, but it's more, quite a bit more. That's what you're watching on that channel. Thank you, brother. But I am happy for each single one of them. Linda E., welcome aboard. Michael Rudnin, I think the VP Kamala Harris can overrule the the parliamentarian is an advisory job. That's all. They don't have to follow that. Lee Grant says religion is a pillar in most societies. The Judeo-Christian tradition is central to Western culture. False. False and false. Western culture that came to America enslaved people. Is that Judeo-Christian? Do you want to say that? You have to decide that. You have to decide how much of what we've done pre-civil rights, pre-when we actually got when we actually started to develop a heart. You really want to say that, Lee Grant? Be careful of what you're saying. Remember, we don't have to coalesce to the history of the winner any longer. The history that most Americans learned was a false history. It was a glory, glory, hallelujah history. Let's remember that. Our history, our power is undeniable. The innovations that have come out of America is undeniable. All those things are undeniable. But let's not go under the false belief that all of this came about just because we're America, an exceptional country, a nice people. That's not how it came about. So let's not continue the lie. Bridge MCP, Linda E. Hey there, MS. I got a mug. LOL. Nanette Bird Smith. I just don't understand why $15 gets Republicans panties in a wad, especially with a graduated increase. I want $15 right away. I'll take the graduated increase. But we want it right away. And the graduated increase is a compromise that hurts a lot of people. But if that's all you can get, I'll talk about what Ilhan Omar has to say in a little bit, because what she had to say was prescient. Daniel Adose, the old Marxist tactic of going around the law. Why stop? It has been working for years. The only one that went around the law was Brother Trump, remember? The one thing harming many, true? Linda E., Bridge, send him your pic. Linda E., actually, Bridge says she's going to send me the picture when she gets healed. Michael Rudnin, if minimum wage kept up with the productivity since 1968, it would be $24 an hour. That's what I was trying to talk about earlier. Nanette Birdsmith, two-thirds of Florida voters passed a $15 minimum wage this past election. Go figure. Under DeSantis, right? Absolutely. Lee Grant, religion is a source of comfort and purpose to many folks. I know. Hell, my wife is a deacon. I understand religion. I used to be I was the director of my choir back in Panama. I played the piano and I sang with the gospel messengers in Panama when I was a kid. Came to the United States on a trip that several churches wanted these foreigners to sing in. I know that. I left religion when I learned about it. My wife is still in religion. My wife is a devout Christian. My wife is a deacon. But I get it. I am not going to try to get anybody away from religion, but don't try to say that, okay, it's been the great, great thing. Nanette Birdsmith, I agree. Okay, Michael Rudnin, it's a moral value. Anyone who works full time should be nowhere near a poverty line. I accept that. I believe that, and that is how it should be. Linda E. says, or rather, Bridge MCP, Linda E., not yet, was sick. Oh, you're telling your story. Michael Rudnin, if the minimum wage is put to a ballot initiative, it will pass overwhelmingly. And that's why I don't understand why Democrats just the bat for the minimum wage. I mean, they need to go to the bat for the minimum wage. Even if they decide to do it standalone and then go ahead and use it to bust the filibuster. Got a quick question, different topic. When does conservative Senator Manchin and that other senator woman, what is her name? Celie, I don't remember her name from Arizona. Sinema, come up from re-election. I can never remember her name. Sinema is her name. I don't recall, but I think Sinema comes up in 2 years, in 4 years. I think she came in with the wave in 2018, which puts her at 24. And Manchin, I would imagine, will be next. Would be 22. I think. Don't quote me on that. Hey, Mark Smith from London. Good evening, May Wood. Hello from Long Beach, California. May, how you doing, girl? Let's see. Michael Rudden says McDonald's. Sure, let's take that as an example. They found that the higher cost of labor that results from increasing minimum wages gets passed on to consumers in the form of more expensive Big Macs. More specifically, they estimated that a 10% minimum wage increase leads to a 1.4% increase in the price of a Big Mac. So if a Big Mac costs $5, it adds a nickel point four. Wow. Such a problem. To do the right thing. If these people in Congress are voting for, actually though, that number, I don't know, 10%, a 10% minimum wage increase. I actually think, Brendan, I got to read up on that one. I think that is higher than I would expect. A 10% increase in because you're telling me if you give 70 cents more to that person, it increases a burger by about, I think it's, we'll talk about that another time. Bridge MCP says, if these people in Congress are voting for their constituents, it should pass. However, they are voting for their lobbyists. That is it on the money. Bridge, ooh, that sounds fun. Hope you can, yeah, anyhow, let's continue. Nanette Bird Smith, many employers are upping their starting wage. Why don't the Republicans see this? Costco says they will pay $16 an hour. Yes, of course they should be paying more, but Costco is generally a good employer. They treat their employees fairly well. Would you pay an extra quarter for your hamburger to make sure everyone who works at a restaurant get a living wage? You betcha. And if you don't, I think it would be sort of an immoral thing, don't you? Okay. Question, any validity to the estimate that 1.4 million jobs lost due to raising wages? Probably. I believe it would. Look. 1.4 million jobs would directly likely be lost by an increase in minimum wage. Let me give an example. Let's say I have a sandwich shop.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico, because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's, actually Geico's.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it, because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico, because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
And that it's charging $15 an hour just doubled my, it more than doubled, paying $15 an hour, for those who know how employees work, would more than double my labor costs. Because if I'm paying somebody $15 an hour, that means I also have to pay an extra 7.5% on that $15 to FICA. Okay, so understood. But, so if I own a sandwich shop, I may want to get a little bit more work out of that employee that I'm now paying $15 an hour. So if I have 10 employees, I may lay off one or two to help, you know, to help defray the costs. And by the way, I may do that. I will also likely increase my prices by a little bit. I will do all these things to mitigate that. So it might lose me that number of employees. What they don't tell you is that you lose 1.4 million employees directly from that. But you gain a lot more employees in the system because there is more money moving around. The amount of money that starts to circulate increases. And that increased circulation of money is with people who buy more. So therefore, at $15, while one person may lose a job, I will be buying a lot more at Costco. I will be buying a lot more at all these other places, which will increase volume. From all the places that Costco buys from, Costco has to buy more. And that percolates all the way down to increase employment because there's more demand. And you say, well, is that demand just being manufactured? Yes, because that increase in wage is transferring money from those who have more, which would spend a bit less, to those who have little, who will spend all. And that's where you get the additional circulation. A lot of people don't like to look into how things really work. So increasing the minimum wage will, in fact, do just that. Michael Rudnan says, Egberto, if you see a post labeled, that means sarcasm because it has not always so obvious. Yeah, I know. Did you put a sarcasm in one of them? I didn't say that. I didn't see that. A minimum wage removes personal choice for people. So, just who is for choice? A minimum wage does not remove personal choice from people. A minimum wage says, in America, if you own a business, in wage. Otherwise, you don't have a business. You have a slave manufacturer. You have the manufacturer of slaves. Now, you can pay them $20 an hour. You can pay them $25 an hour. You have the choice to do that. So we're not removing choice. We are just preventing you from being a slave master. It's a difference. We are preventing you from being a slave master. We are creating a level playing field in America that says anybody who holds a job can live. We're not creating a family of slave masters around here. So we are giving all Americans choice. And what is that choice? If company A wants to just pay $15 and company B sees a reason to pay $17, I go to $17 guy. Please remember that. Daniel Ledo, again, your messaging falls on fallacy. Let's see. Bridge says, Eric Hayes, read that. The number has been, I think that's a private conversation. All right, let's continue here. Let's see what else I got. So black conservatives are stooges, Egberto. Okay, your inner racist is showing. Oh, so now I'm racist because I'm calling black conservatives who are unpatriotic and who support unpatriotic, seditious insurrectionists, and I call them out. And that makes me a racist. But generally speaking, if I don't call out black people that are doing the wrong thing, again, I'm a racist because you don't call out black people that do the wrong thing. Make up your mind, Daniel Ledo. My brother, make up your mind. George Sarapa. Hey, Egberto, great show as always. Thank you very much, George Sarapa. Muchísimas gracias. Tom C. How about a minimum wage of $10 right now plus Medicare for all? Brother, I would take that. I would take that, Tom C. That would be, in effect, a big wage. Tom, magic. I love that. I love that, Tom. I love that. I would take that. Linda Kissinger. You know why? Because if we have Medicare for all, you just $10 an hour, $400 a week gives you $1,600 a month. Yes, it's hard to live on that, but that is the lowest wage, etc. But since you don't have your medical costs, work with that. That's a good start. Tom, I like your idea. Linda Jo Kessinger says, hey everyone, Eric Hayes. So with all the deficit spending, can we say the U.S. is a rich company using borrowed funds? Is that considered earned money being used for just take? Okay, I'm going to try this again with Eric. Eric, money from the government isn't the same as money in your checking account. Government creates, in the case of America, in the case of countries that don't have their sovereign currency, it's not possible because if they're dependent on some other currency, it's not possible. This isn't possible. America has sovereign currency. In other words, our money is belongs to us, and it, the worth of our money is the faith and the faith in our own economic system. Remember that. So therefore, we can make as much money available as possible. We are a sovereign currency. What stops us from making as much money available? Something called inflation. If there's too much money chasing after too little product, not enough product. That's what causes inflation. If we have too much money, in other words, let's say I give everybody $10,000. I mean, let's say I give everybody $100,000. Since we have our sovereign currency, the government could do that. Give everybody $100,000. Immediately, everybody wants a car, everybody wants a house, everybody's going to run out there and buy a car and whatever. And since we are not currently designed for that volume of selling cars, the price of cars suddenly go up because people are going to say, the salesman is going to say, wow, I got 10 people who want that car. Okay, first bid, 100,000. Next bid, and that's what you get, inflation, because you have a lot of money chasing too little product. We are not even close to that. The fact that we have people that are unemployed means we don't have a shortage of employment. That's numero uno. The fact that we have people unemployed means we can build a lot more products, meaning we could hire all these people, increase the size of factories, and create more jobs and create more product so that there won't be too much money chasing two little products. So the fallacy that we hear from those who would say we can't have deficit spending and all of that kind of stuff is that they're lying to you. They don't, is they're lying to you or they don't understand economics. Her name is Elizabeth. What's her name? Jessica Elizabeth? No, I don't remember her name right now. She's a economist. She's modern monetary theory economist. And if you follow her, MMT, let me look her up because I want to tell you, MMT economist. I've been trying to get her on too, other than bringing on Richard, well, Stephanie Kelton. Check out Stephanie Kelton. Stephanie Kelton did a calculation to see what the slack was in our economic system right now. And she found that on a yearly basis, we had a slack of over $600 billion, which means we could, as a country, we could donate $600 billion more in basic income to people. Just give it away. And that would increase economic activity in such a manner that it balances with everybody having without creating inflation. And the calculation was completely based on the slack that we have in the economy, meaning how many people are unemployed, and if those people are unemployed in areas that are doing business, how much can they produce? And when you do all that calculation, you come out with an approximation as far as how much more spending we can actually put into the economy without creating inflation. And it's a lot. It's a lot. We falsely keep people down to keep wages down to keep all. I mean, because we want to have this bifurcated wealth class gap, because some people just want to live very well, and they can only live very well if some live not so well. The 20th century is awash in eighth blood from the atheist murderous nature. Man, the only person that sounds so Daniel Ledo. Do you realize, and I'm not going to get to the video, I went too long with this, but Daniel Ledo, do you realize the person that talked the most violently here about violent things, people doing violence onto others, is you? None of our people here other than you, none of our conservatives, we have Lee Grant is a conservative, we have, who else is a conservative here, Eric Hayes is a conservative. We have a lot of conservatives in the House. I never hear them talking violently. You're the only one that's always talking violently. Just like those guys who attacked the Capitol. Why? Why? Egberto, more like a quarter, not a nickel, but yeah, pretty much. Five. Yeah, you're right. No. One. If it's 1.4%. Oh, 10% times the seven. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Eric Hayes says the sandwich shop will cut costs. It'll cut costs and increase prices. I mean, if they increase their price by 25 cents per sandwich, you're still gonna buy that sandwich, Eric Hayes. You're not gonna not buy that sandwich because you have a quarter less in your pocket. When you, especially knowing that a lot of people are gonna have a decent living now. Okay, let's see. Salim Ali Mustafa, welcome aboard Politics Done Right. Salim Mustafa says, hello, I am from Syria. We lost our home because of war. We live near Turkish border. We need help to get basic needs. Help us, please. Send me a direct message later on. Let's validate who you are, Salim. Okay, Linda E., that Papa John's guy went on TV and blamed the employees of he had to pay them more. Tell him the public. You know, I don't get it. You know, they don't mind making a lot of money for themselves, but they do mind paying to make somebody. You know, they're completely dependent on their workers, but they don't want to pay them. Okay, let's see. Lorenzo Duane Reed, that's not how it works. That's not what how works, Lorenzo. You may want to kind of help me out a bit. I want to make sure that you're not talking about me or as far as somebody else. So let me know what it is. Linda Joe Kissinger says, breach true, and they disregard that which doesn't fit their agenda, even sometimes going against those exactly. Berto, that would only happen if you make and sell lousy sangha. Maywood. Michael says, Egberto, the previous post with sarcasm tag, CPAC goes all in on Trump's false election credit conspiracy theory, is now the official Republican platform. No, I know it's sarcasm, but I do say that it is the Republican platform. Okay. Bridge, yo, Linda, Joe. Let's see. Lorenzo Duane Reed says, no, if a person makes $15 and prices go up, they're not spending more, just paying more for the same product. No, if a person makes $15 more an hour go up, they are not spending more, just paying more for the same product. Yeah, they're paying more for the same product so that they can pay an employee more. And that employee gets to buy more stuff. And when that employee buy more stuff, remember, economic activity is how fast money turns around. Don't forget that. All right. You can call and talk to me. You can call the line. Anybody who wants to dispute what I'm saying, please give us a call. The number is, let me put that on the screen again. You can always give us a call. I love my callers. Okay, I've just put the number on the screen. If you want to call and use that code to come in. Let's see. I want to get back to where I was. Michael, okay, let's see. When the wages go up, does the ability of workers to spend. They can afford to buy more sandwiches. Therefore, your business would increase to the point that you would be forced to hire more. You get it, Maywood. You get it. Now, Daniel says, you are a racist because you judge black people as having inherent ideology and identity. You're racist because you judge all people by their racial standard. No, I don't even if you listen to my show, I think race is a stupid thing. But because America has given has based a lot of, is systemically based on race, what we look like, our pigmentation, that has to be taken into account of the notion. As an example, when I built Willie's Computer Software Company, I built it on 18 to 21% interest rates on credit cards. Why? Because when I went to the bank laughed at me. And I mean, they laughed. You're coming in here asking us for a loan without collateral. Yes, I am. I asked for $40,000 on collateralized loan, business loan, and they laughed at me. I got out of there. You had to use my credit cards for building my company. My friend, white guy, coke addict, was going into in those days it was using they didn't have a lot of cell phones, so they were using cards, long distance cards to make calls, all that sort of thing. He went in there. Everybody who sees this guy, based on his actions, knew that he was coked up. He got the $40,000. He called me up, Egberto, I got approved. I know you're going to get approved too, because he knew I had perfect credit. I had lousy credit. Not lousy. He had sevens, low sevens. Okay? And he got it. They laughed at me when I went in, and I'll name the bank, NCNB. They laughed at me. I went in there, and the VP, everybody's called a VP out there. VP sat me down, and he told me, don't even bother filling out the application. And I didn't, because I understood where it was coming from. But I made it. And this is a quick offset story, just a little offset story. They didn't give me the loan. After a few years, a couple years, I think it was, the business really took off. And then I went to the bank this time. And I didn't ask for the loan. I told the bank they were going to give me the loan. And again, she smirked. And then when I gave all the preliminary information, she kind of go ahead and sent the thing to all the information to fill out the application. And then I said, you'll have the application complete with the resume, with all the flow, the money flows and all that kind of stuff by tomorrow. She laughed. I'm not kidding you. I then had it FedEx to her in a cartapacio, 3-ring binder this thick with all the information. And I said to her, I'll be waiting on my loan. She said nothing. By then she realized it was serious. The loan came out just before tax day. The woman probably thought I wanted the loan to pay my taxes. So they held out distributing the loan till the day after April 15th. You would not imagine what Hugh does in business. And I said I was going to write a book on all the different things that I went through with the different businesses that I had just because of Hugh. I mean, I don't hold it against I never allowed it to stop me. But think about those people who didn't grow up headstrong. You know, I had great parents, mother and father, great parents. They instilled in me a certain gravitas that said, you are better than no one, but no one is better than you, and you can do whatever you want to do, and there are several ways to skin a cat. And I've always kept that in the back of my head, and that's exactly how I function.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico's.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah. They were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably been hearing a lot about the stock market lately. Millions of people are beginning to invest for the first time ever. And we're realizing that the financial system should be built to work for us. That's why Robinhood is creating real human education resources, truly digestible financial news, and a platform that lets you invest in your own way, on your own terms. The next generation of investors is already here. And it includes you, Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial, LLC.
But a lot of what I went through had to do solely because of my hue. So I want you guys to realize something that is important. When you call me a racist, you are looking in a mirror, my brother. You are looking in a mirror. Because if you can't understand what somebody like moi had to go through, you really have an issue. You're really wearing colored glasses, but those colored glasses generally means it says more about who you are than what is. Eric Hayes, money is money and debt is debt. That is not true at all. That is not true at all. Again, will you consider learning the difference between sovereign currency of the government and the dollars you spend every day? It's a very big difference. And anytime you have a right-wing radio station, TV station, or whatever that tells you that, they're lying to you and they're making you less intelligent than you should be. That's what it is. Eric Hayes again, open the economy and let people work and get sick with no Medicare for all. Wow. Lee Grant, the term seditionist and insurrectionist are thrown around liberally. I think some would change me with such a label, would charge me with such a... No, you're no insurrectionist or seditionist, buddy. Stephanie Kelton, thank you for telling me that. I'm just scrolling to that. Let's see. Daniel Ledo says, what he is talking about now is real world terms, is buying votes. Huh? Wow. Amazing. Okay, Daniel Ledo is probably talking about Hitler, Stalin, Mao, as if atheists want... Thank you, ABQ. Let's see who else wants to make a comment. Paul Fleming says, when you're talking fast food or quick service businesses, they are based on part-time workers, have very few full-time workers. True? All right, Maywood says, replying to Eric Hayes, define too much stimulus. If you're talking about unrestrained government spending on inappropriate items, war, the military. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. We just dropped a few bombs in Iraq or in Syria. Do you know how much each one of those bombs costs? And that was just to give a message, right? It didn't accomplish anything. It's to show that, hey, we can drop a bomb. We can send an F-16 out there with 2 500-pound bombs on it. We spent a lot of gas to put it out there. We spent a lot of money to replenish that bomb. But we can't give somebody basic income. We can't give priorities. Work part-time 40 years ago with health insurance. Now you need 3 part-time jobs and they won't hire you and you still don't get health insurance. It's amazing. Egberto, if you raise wages and employees spend more, is this the same as getting refunds of thousands in taxes? Spending is spending? No, it's not. Let me give you why. And this is why I love doing this here, because when you raise questions like that, it provides us away from giving you answers. There are various studies that's been done. Which one gives you the biggest bang for your buck? Which means, what creates circulation in your economy? If you give a tax cut, or if you give money into the economy, meaning you give them a stipend, if you give them a, what actually turns around? If you look at the literature, because the people who will get tax cuts are the people who command more salary, more earnings, they generally don't put that money back into the economy. So I get a tax cut, or somebody get a tax cut, they throw that tax cut into the bank. That creates no additional spending in the economy. However, if you give that tax cut to a low-wage worker, or rather, if you give that money to a low-wage worker in the form of a pay increase, in the form of basic income, they are going to throw that into the economy right now, because most poor people go without. You go ahead and you watch, and this is why it's so important for you to be around people of all types. You go around a poor person, and at the end of the month, that poor person is going through their bills. And they're going through, I can pay this, I can pay that, I can buy this for my daughter, I can buy this for my son, but I can't do this today. Now, if they have more money, they'll immediately say, oh, I can do this today, I can do this now. That's spending into the economy. And when they do this today, they create more demand. And as they create more demand, that creates an extra job for somebody else. This is not rocket science. This has been proven in truth, and this has been proven in theory. So it's been proven in real life, real world, and as well in theory. But again, when you have a party that isn't theory based, and when you have a portion of a party that isn't willing to fight because they don't want to be called socialists or whatever, this is what you get. We have to fight for minimum wage. Wow, I keep getting messages, but I guess that's what I said the show is going to be about. Talk to whatever you guys have to say. NCNB isn't the Bank of America. It is the Bank of America now. NCNB, look, Bank of America went through a whole lot of transition. It was first called, I started with this bank when it was called University Savings. And then from University Savings, it was called NCNB. And then from NCNB it was called Nations Bank. And then from Nations Bank it was called Bank of America. So these banks go through all kind of magical things. Let's see. And I, you know, by the way, I know the scenario because I've been banking with these same guys for a very long time. And there's a reason that I did that. And let me tell folks this, right? When it comes to reasons why people deny you credit or not give you what's your due, the reason why they do that is so they can say, ah, well, he wasn't with us for a long time. I always make sure to keep permanence, even if I'm not using them to the fullest and going to use somebody else. I make sure to keep permanence, to remove that as an excuse. Well, we're not going to give you that particular loan because we don't have a relationship with you. Well, you have more than a 20, 30-year relationship with me, brothers and sisters. So, you know, you have to beat the system by playing the system the way they expect it, not the way not they expect you not to play it, so that you know when your hue is actually the limiting factor. Egberto, LOL, have become the perfect Marxist stooge. Okay, if you feel that way, but you're here. Okay, let's see. Replying. Let me continue scrolling. I think let's Egberto, a topic for the next show. Dallas created a toxic waste dump in a minority neighborhood, then ignored their people for 3 years before an election came around. We live in a city. I'll read the rest later. Okay, let's continue. Man, you guys had a lot today, and we're almost done with the show with me talking to everything that you guys put out there. Ew, please, Egberto, use a different analogy. And for what? Let's see. I get a visual when you say skin. Hey, anything. Sovereign currency. Okay, what analogy are you talking about, Linda E? Tell me real quick, because I'm not sure that I know what you're talking about. So tell me real quick what you mean, Sister E. All right, Sister Linda E. All right, Nanette Bird says, because they're using... Okay, that is a conversation. Maywood says, since the $15 wage increase is up for discussion, I have a series of podcasts on the subject. Let it fly. Lee, Biden bombs own it. Yes, he did. And I owned it at the beginning of the program, Lee. Come on now. Bridge MCP, a George Carlin said, I love George Carlin. My wife used to buy me all George Carlin books. I love George Carlin. He's a comedian, but he knows so much and he quite a bit. Eric Hayes, most sane people go without and take care of their business, but if you model credit spending, it's okay. We'll see more people in debt. Can't you get that people are poor not because they're not providing the services due more money? They're poor because systemically we have made them poor. We need to fix that. That is where morality comes in. Linda, Joe Kessinger says, priorities should be first and foremost keeping people alive. Thank you. Healthcare, living wages, police reform, immigration. When people don't have to worry about staying alive, then deal with the other stuff. Power to you, girl. Maywood, replying to Eric Hayes. Okay. All right. We're almost at the end of the show. Can you believe that? You guys had a lot of stuff, but that's what I asked for. I guess I'll play the other tape on Monday. But I rather talk to you guys with what you guys brought up in the show than just throw what I said on. Like I said, this is your show, and you guys make the difference. If you want me to talk about something else, that's what I do. I didn't even make a plea today. I'm going to do it real quickly. Please, if you are listening to us on YouTube, please go ahead and click that join button and become a member of the PDR Posse. If you don't see that join button, I'm going to put it in the feed right now so the people on YouTube, the people on all the other channels can see it. It is politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. That's politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. Likewise, you can go ahead and support us via Patreon. That is politicsdoneright.com/Patreon. politicsdoneright.com/Patreon. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Let's see. Paul Fleming says, you've knocked out of the park again, my brother. Have a great week. Hey, brother, coming from you, Paul, that means a lot. Coming from all of you, the kudos are touching. And I really mean that from the depths of my heart. Because I'm doing this, hopefully, that those of you that are listening to me live, those of you that are going to share it, and those people who are going to stumble on it, and it's several thousand that do it in the different forms. It's really, really great. So I appreciate all of you. And I mean, when I say I appreciate all of you, even Daniel Ledo, who gives me a hard time, he calls me a racist, he tells me all of these things. Let me tell you why I appreciate Daniel. Because Daniel gives us the opportunity to see the entire framework and mentality of America. And some people see what deep inside what they are, what they don't want to be, what they want to improve on. Hell, I see what I want to improve on myself as well. So anyhow, go ahead, folks, and go to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube if you want to join the posse. We need you. And if you want to support us via PayPal as well, politicsdoneright.com/PayPal. And there you go. I love it. Bridge MCP said, come on, join the PDR posse. Thank you, Bridge. Love you, girl. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Now, you can get our book. That's the book that you see on the screen right now. How do you get that book? You can get it at Amazon. To get it at Amazon, here you go. That's it on Amazon. You can also buy it at our store to cut out the middle person. At the store, it's politicsdoneright.com/store. Politicsdoneright.com/store. You can get the t-shirts. You can get the hoodies. You can also get all our books. All our books, as I see it, Class Warfare, The Only Resort. Even my weight loss book is there. So go to store.politicsdoneright.com or politicsdoneright.com/store and support us. We need your support. We can't do this without you. We simply cannot do this without you. And by the way, get our cup. The cup designed by Bridge MCP. That same Bridge MCP that you see in the chat, she designed that. Get the cup. How do you get that cup? Let me give you the link to that cup. You can go ahead and get that cup at our store. And here is the link to get the cup. Please support us by getting the cup as well. Who has already done it? Our beautiful Linda E. There she is with the cup, as well as Norman Reynolds. We have more, but they haven't sent their pictures in. We want it. We want it. Let's say push the COVID weight loss. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyhow, folks, so there is Norman and there is Linda E. who got the book. Look, I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you know how I get out of here. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.
Now serving F27 at DMV window number 16.
Okay, Rose, we're second in line. Perfect, Rose. You remembered the birth certificate? Yes, and we have our electric bill. Excellent. We'll be Real ID ready in no time. Real ID ready to visit our grandson, Ricky, at Fort Bragg, then fly to New Orleans for Jazz Fest.
Pardon me, are you talking to yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am.
Talk yourself into Real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
I'm Robert Conti, Chief of the Metropolitan Police Department. Unfortunately, traffic fatalities are up in the district, and I need your help to reverse this trend. Seatbelts save lives and reduce the risk of death or injury. Click it or ticket.